Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Appreciate you being here. Genesis chapter 1. I want to look at a little thought this morning. Verse 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." Now, God's talking to Adam, we know that. And he sure says a lot in this verse, but it's big on my heart, that word where he says, "And God said, behold." Behold, that word is found over 1,300 times in the Bible. Kind of tells me that God wants us to recognize it and what it means. It literally means to look. It means to, as it says, behold. It has the idea of something you're about to discover. It has an emphasis on it, the Hebrew word and the later on the Greek word in the New Testament. That's translated, behold, has the idea. Here's what it means. Looky, looky. Looky here. You ever said that? Looky here. Well, God is saying, looky, looky. Look at what's going to happen here. He says, take a look and look close. It is as though he's drawing our attention to one thought or one event or one thing. And he is saying, behold, look, look, looky. Look at this, something important, something to look closely, to examine thoroughly. He is saying, if you don't look, you're going to miss something. You're going to discover something if you'll look, so don't miss it. I have on my heart to examine that word, to try and preach on this. Looky, looky, look at what God wants us to look at. Notice what it says in this verse. I have given you every herb bearing seed. God said, I have given you what you need, listen, to survive. And he says, I don't want you to miss that. It is as though God is saying, looky here what I've done for you. We see in this, behold, that God sends the seed. He has sent to Adam and Eve and to his grandchildren, us, the seed we need to bear fruit, to eat, to consume, to survive, to live. And God says this is something that's so important. It bears examination. You are about to discover something. He says, I don't want you to miss this. I am the one who has supplied what you need to live. Looky at what God has done. He is sending the seed. Our brother Paul says that same thought in Colossians 1:17, where he says, he is before all things, and by him does all things consist. That word consist means to set together, to held together. Put together. In other words, God designed this universe. He is the one that orchestrated it. He is the one that made it. He is the one that has put it together. And he is right now, he is the one that's holding it together. Oh my, looky at what God has done. Notice what he says, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth. He says, look everywhere. Don't miss any spot. For everything you see is from me. Every seed, every fruit, every plant, every vegetable, everything you need, everything you see came from me. I have done that. Look at what God has done. He has made everything. Listen, he has made everything everywhere. He says, go as far as you want to. You'll not run out of my front yard. Look as far as you want to. You won't run out of my boundaries. You'll never cross over my fence. It all belongs to me, and I have made it to where you can enjoy it, where you can enjoy it and survive by it. Looky, looky what God has done. He has sent the seed to help us to live. It is everywhere. Hey, if it's everywhere, you know what that means? It's where you're at. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I know this. God will send to you what you need to survive. He has sent to you the help you need to make it through another day. I'm glad God's still sending seed. God's still helping people. God's still doing what we need to survive another day. Sometimes you may wonder, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. This battle may get me. This trial may end my life. I want to tell you, the good God of heaven has provided what you need to make it through what you're going through. He is sending the seeds you need, the help you need to survive, to make it through. Notice what he says, of which the fruit of the tree yielding seed. He says, the fruit I produce has in it the seed to produce more fruit. You know what that means? God's blessings bear blessings. God's blessings produces blessings. I want to tell you one thing. I found that to be true. God pours out His abundant blessing and helps us when we need it so desperately. Anywhere and everywhere, God is. But if you look on, and I don't want you to look, just listen. In chapter 3, verse 3, in the midst of the garden, he said, everywhere you look, that's my territory. That's my farm. That's my yard. I own it all. And in the midst of the garden, right in the middle of it, there's a tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I thought often if it's in the midst of the garden, Adam and Eve had to walk by it many times. I wonder how many times they looked at it and wondered what God had said about that tree and how to not eat of that tree. And if they did eat of that tree, they would surely die. I wonder how many times did they look at that tree and look how pretty it was and how nice the fruit looked, and they were able to keep on going. But then one day, and I do not know how long it took, and neither do you, Eve was listening to the devil while she was looking at the tree. And she got in trouble, and so did Adam. In the midst of God's blessings, listen to me, in the midst of God's blessings, there's a way to lose that blessing. He said, I have all the blessings you could ever hope for. All the blessings you could ever dream for. I will provide what you need. But I want to tell you, there is a place you can go. There is a place you can go where you will cut off my blessing. There is one spot in that garden I will not bless. There is one spot in your life, you go there and you cut yourself off of my blessings. I will not bless you there. There is a place called sin. And I want to tell you, when we go there, we will pay. He says, I'm sending the seed. I'm going to help you. I'm going to bless you. But I want to tell you, you need to realize you can forfeit my blessing. Look on in verse 31 of that chapter if you still got your spot. And God saw everything that He had made, and there's the word again. Behold, it was very good. That's the second time that word behold is found in the Bible. Now, lest you get fearful, I'm not going to walk through the whole 1,326. I'm only going to do about 2,000 of them. But the second time we find the word behold, where God says, looky, looky, pay attention. You're about to discover something you don't want to miss. See us. Draw your attention to what I'm saying. The second time He says this word, He is saying, behold, it was very good. He said, what I did was not just good, it was very good. You know what that means? Very good. It literally means utterly. It means absolutely. It is beyond comprehension, beyond compare. You ever gone to a new restaurant and you said, man alive, that's the best restaurant I've ever been to in my life. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to settle down here. I found the best restaurant in the world. And after a few visits, you get to thinking, well, this isn't quite as good as I thought it was. You go somewhere else and you think, man alive, I thought Sam's was good, but I want to tell you what, Bill's is better. Bill's is the best restaurant I've ever been to. Well, I'll tell you something. God said what I'm doing is the very best. In other words, you ain't going to find anything better in this world than what I have done. Could I remind us God's blessings are the best? Look the world over. Try and find what's going to please you and make you happy. But I want to tell you, you'll come back to God and say, oh God, you do it better than the world does. I didn't find anything out there better than you. You are the best. He done told us that. He said, looky, looky, what I'm doing is the very best. That means there's nothing better. That's what teenagers finally find out. That's what I found out. Brother Tony, we found out the world didn't make us happy, did it? Our way didn't make us happy because God already told us my way's the best. I'm the very best. What I have for you is better than anything. Oh, boy. But he says, looky, looky. What I have for you is better than what you can find anywhere with anybody. So that tells me we don't really have to look. When you found the best, and there's nothing better, why look anywhere else? Why go through the heartache? If I'm looking for the best restaurant, why in the world do I go over here and get food poisoning searching for it? If I know where the best restaurant is, I want to go there. And I know some of you think, boy, you have gone there more than you ought to. I can tell that. And you're probably right. Hey, I'm saying this first. Behold, God says, looky, looky, I see in the seed. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. I want you to look with me a couple of times this morning. We're talking about looky, looky, behold what God has shown us. Discover something. Look at something. Don't miss it. It's too good to miss. It's too good to avoid. Examine it thoroughly. Our first behold, our first looky-looky, says God sends the seed. Look in verse 22, we'll find out that God is saying, looky-looky. God not only sends the seed, but he sees the sin. And the Lord God said, here's the word, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. The third behold of the Bible we find in this verse, where he says, behold, the man has become as one of us. Man has sinned. Adam and Eve have fallen. They have misused God's blessing. Remember, the whole garden, the whole earth was at their disposal. All of God's blessings was at their hand, except for one little spot, one little tree. And they had to take what God said don't take. Well, that shows us ourselves. Flesh is never satisfied. We are never content with what God gives us. We're always looking for more, asking for more, expecting more. I say, I wonder, when Eve was talking to Satan, Lucifer, there at that tree in the midst of the garden, and she got to looking at the beauty of the tree and that it was something beautiful and it was good fruit and it was like this Lucifer said, to make one wise. I wonder if she was, as she was thinking about plucking the fruit, did she look around and see if she could spot God, watch it? Did it even enter her mind? The Bible doesn't say. Did she ever in her mind, did it ever cross her mind to look and see if God was watching? I don't know if she did. I don't know if Adam and Eve even thought about whether God could see them. I do not know if they could see God, but I do know this, he could see them. Whether they saw him or not, I do not know. I'm sort of the opinion they didn't. It'd be hard to see them taking that fruit when they knew God was watching, but he was. And we partake of fruit all the time that we shouldn't, and we know God's watching, so maybe they did. But whether they did see him or not, I do know this, he saw them. He sees sin. This second, this behold says, God sees sin. When we do wrong, he sees it. I said again, they misused God's blessing. They rejected God's provision, and God saw it all. The only thing he withheld from them is that they desired more than anything else. Boy, that's our flesh. Oh, their innocence now is gone. And they know about sin. They know about right and wrong. They know about the separation from God. They know the anguish of failure. And they try to cover it up and it doesn't work. And the bad thing about it is they can't undo it. They have taken a step and they cannot go back. They cannot unscramble the egg. They have taken that step and led humanity into sin. And God saw it all. Notice what God says, no good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Boy, God knows man. He knows man is putting forth the hand. Even though in their state of their loss and their condemnation now and their sinful state, they're still reaching out for an easy way, some way to satisfy themselves. And that's how mankind is. God said, looky, looky. Look what happens to man when they decide to go their own way. He says, looky, looky, don't miss this. Examine this closely. Don't miss this point. If you desire to please flesh and you give in to the flesh, God will see it and you will regret it. Oh my. No. Most of us would have to say, yes, I know. I've learned the hard way. I've walked my way and paid. Taking the one little thing that God withheld from me, and I'm sorry for him. Let's look on a little head. Look in chapter 6, verse 12. I'm still talking about God seeing. And God looked upon the earth. He's still looking. He's still seeing. And behold, there's a word again. God said, looky, looky. No miss this. And behold, it is corrupt, and all flesh hath corrupted his way upon the earth. You know what he's saying? That one could have used the word, and you not get mad. The one little sin of Adam and Eve has now spread into something big. It has spread. Sin is contagious. Sin is hereditary. From that one small beginning of sin with Adam and Eve, it has spread now throughout the world. And it's going to continue to spread. It's going to continue to worse. And God says this, when you decide to walk your way, don't forget, I'm watching. God sees sin. God sees what we're doing. He hears what we say. He knows what our heart is. In verse 13 of chapter 6, and God said, and to know it, the end of the flesh should come unto me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Notice, and behold, there's our word again, I will destroy them from the earth. Another word where he says, looky, looky. I told Adam and Eve, oh, enjoy everything I've given you. But don't take that one thing I forbid you. And they did. Now he says to them, to the world, and to us, that sin is spreading, that sin has contaminated the world. It started from Grandpappy, Grandmama, Adam and Eve, but it spread to everybody, including us. And God says it got so bad. Look. It got so bad. Looky. It's gotten so bad I can't ignore it. I'm going to deal with it. I'll send a flood. God said, don't miss this. You're about to discover something. You're about to see something. God loves the world, but he cannot tolerate their sin. And the God who loves us is also a God who is holy and pure and righteous, and he cannot ignore sin. He cannot let it go on. He must, and he will deal with sin. Looky. God sees sin. He knows what's going on. He can't ignore him. To where even David later on says, behold, looky, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It is not just the world. It's me. Looky. God sees the sin of the world, and he will deal with that sin. But he sees my sin. And he will deal with me. He says, don't miss this. Look at this closely. Take it seriously. Don't ignore it. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. Looky. Here's something too important to ignore. Let's look at another behold. And I'll probably quit for this morning. Well, let's go on to Revelation 3. Of course, here's the Greek word that's translated behold, but it's still behold, still means the same thing. It means looky. It means examine closely. It means you're about to discover something. Here's something too important to ignore. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. First word, behold. Looky. Don't miss this. Look close. Come on, let's look at this thing. I'm about to say something too important to ignore. You're about to discover something. I'm about to show you something. Looky, what I'm about to show you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here's another word, behold, where God says, looky, don't miss this. Now, we have looked at the first behold that I have at least mentioned this morning and says God sends the seed. And the second, God sees the sin. But the third I want to deal with, God saves the sinner. Now, I have to be honest. Biblically, he is speaking to the church. And he's saying to a church, if you'll just let me in, I'm going to help you. But this can be applied to individuals. And he says to you, he says to me, looky, I stand at the door and knock. I do. This is not just a preacher speaking or a Christian friend or a mom or dad nagging you. This is Jesus. He is the one who has nail-scarred hands and a nail-scarred side. He is the one who died for you and me. He is the one who gave his life. He's the one that suffered for my sin and yours. He's the one that paid our sin debt. And he who suffered on the cross says, the only one who has a right to come to the door and knock is standing at the door, and he says, behold, I stand. That means he has come to the point where he's outside the door and he's stopped and he's standing, which means he's waiting. He is approached and now he has stopped and he says, I knock at the door. The door indicates a separation between you and him. And that door, that separation, is a picture of your sin as a sinner. But he says, I have approached you. I have come after you, and I am here, and I am knocking at the door, asking you, will you please let me in? That means he's patient, and he's loving, and he's kind just to be there, and just to be offering forgiveness. The thing that keeps him from getting to you is the separation of the door, the hindrance of the sin. And he says, if you'll open the door, I will come into you. He saves the sinner if the sinner will let him. And this morning, he wants to save you. And the only thing between you and him is your sin, your life, your will, your desire. And we've already found out that that's not worth holding on to anyway. No matter what's keeping you from opening the door and saying yes to him, no matter what it is, it's not worth hanging on to. It's not worth going to hell for. It's not worth missing his salvation for. He says, I come, I knock at the door, and if you will open the door, it's your decision, your choice. You can say no. And a lot have. And a lot have said no too many times and ended up in hell because of it. But he says, looky here. Behold, looky, looky. Don't miss this. This is too good to miss. Don't miss what I'm saying. You're about to discover something. I am a God who, even though I'm holy and your sin is repulsive to me, I am here to save you if you'll open the door and let me in. And that's what I did March the 2nd, 1975. I just opened the door to my heart and said, Lord, I'm tired of this life. I've had enough of this so-called happiness that hadn't made me happy. I've had enough of this world that's made me unhappy. I need you. I need your forgiveness. And can I remind you again who he's talking to? Listen to their opinion of themselves. Verse 17 tells us, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. He says to the church, he says also to individuals, you think you're okay, and that's your problem. You say, I'm rich, and increase with goods, and I have need of nothing. And as the Lord's, they're just saying, I don't need your help. So many people this morning who are lost think they don't need help from God. But he said, thou knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Can you imagine someone so far down the ladder that they're laying there in the dirt with no clothes and no food and nothing, and they say there, oh, I'm rich. Look at my fine clothes. Look at the mansion I'm living in. Can you imagine anybody being so blind? And that's a picture of a lost sinner who says they don't need God. And this morning I want to tell you, if you've never been saved, your greatest need is to be saved. But you must realize it and admit it. Admit your need. Acknowledge your lack. Confess to him your sin. And how you can't save yourself. You can't do good enough to get to heaven because your good, your best, is still filthy rags in his eyes. He's that pure. But he's provided the way of forgiveness. And this morning I'm convinced he's come to some people's doors and he's knocking and he says, will you let me forgive you? Can you imagine that? Since I thought that thought, it has been amazed to me. It is another looky-looky moment for me that God chases us down saying, will you please let me forgive you? That amazes me. But he does. Looky-looky. God wants to show us something. For the believer, he says, I send you your seed. What you need this morning, I provided. You trust me? One thing about a seed, you have to wait until it bears. It takes time for the garden to come in. You have to trust. There's times you have to wait on God to supply, provide, make the way. But in the waiting, you trust and expect. God says to believers, I send the seeds. Looky, don't miss this. He also says to us all, I see the sin. I see how you're living. Now you can look nice at church, but I know where you're at and what you do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I see you. He also says this morning to the sinner, I save the sinners. Wouldn't it be a good day to get in the family? Be a good day to get birthed into His family and get your sins forgiven, your life changed, your eternity changed. My little thoughts this morning says you can discover that God provides, that God punishes, and God pardons. Let's stand together.